Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Well, there they are, the Jaguars picks, and nobody cares about any of them except for number 17 right now. That's just the way it goes. Welcome to the NFL Draft 2024, 3 weeks from today. Draft party, by the way, will be at Jags headquarters, doing it inside the stadium this year. We will be there with a one-hour show. We'll be there all day, probably with our show at 10 a.m. until 1 p.m., and then a lot of coverage on CBS 47 and Fox 30. Might even have some special coverage here on our Action Sports Shacks 24/7 network, because we can do that. And then 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock at night, we'll be live on Fox 30 with a one-hour draft special to get you set before the draft starts at 8 o'clock. And then we'll cap it off with complete coverage, of course, on our late news on CBS 47 and Fox 30. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, and Jason Hamby, welcome back to String Sports Brewery here in Springfield, as they just opened the doors for a Thursday late morning, early afternoon, lunchtime. And we got the games coming on this weekend with the Final Four. Brackets busted a long time ago, but now we can win a TV if you come here to String Sports Brewery. 10 for 10 from the free throw line. How you doing over there now?
Not too bad, man. I started shooting threes, though. I'm getting cocky now.
Oh, cocky.
Yeah, I'm starting to shoot threes.
8 out of 10 from the free throw line, still the best for you. We got to get to 10 out of 10, and then you can register to win that 65-inch TV. Saturday night will be the finals, so you have until tomorrow evening here at Strings to come on down and put your name in the hat. But the hat, your name only gets in the hat if you hit 10 free throws in a row. So how good are you at shooting free throws here in Jacksonville? Come on down and find out. Grab a beer and some lunch while you're at it. The food here is fantastic and a little different, which I like about the menu here at String Sports Brewery. Hamby, did you see the A's are going to go play in Sacramento for 3 years? They're going to Vegas like in 2028. Oakland tried to make a last-ditch effort to keep him for the next few years with an extended lease agreement, and now they're going to go down the road in Sacramento. I don't even know how far down the road that is in California, but they're going to play in front of like 10,000 people, which is really all they needed.
Yeah, it's about four times the amount that they're playing in front of right now. So, you know, I mean, how far is Sacramento? Sacramento is what, North California?
I think it's north of Oakland, I believe.
Okay, so how do you know how far from Oakland that is?
I really don't. Nah.
Sounds like a Google question to me.
I think I've vaguely done that, I think, from San Francisco before, and I want to say it's like under an hour and a half. That's going to be my guess. I'm thinking more like an hour and 15 minutes, although depending on what time of day in San Francisco, I guess that could be dicey.
Could be 10 hours.
Yeah, hour 15 to hour 30.
Look at me.
Nicely done.
Yeah, I'm impressed with myself there.
Nice.
My geographical knowledge of California, which I've never really been up to Sacramento. But anyway, the A's are going to be there, so that's like the latest news. Didn't you have an A's thing? What did you find us the other day on Twitter that had to do with the A's?
What was that? Let me see.
82 miles, Mr. Hugo. Way to go. Research, part of our research department. I like it. I got it. It was against the Red Sox. So why did you bring this up? Stadium fun fact. What current franchise was the first baseball team established in Major League Baseball? Customer service, product, new jerseys, item of the game, denim jacket, by the way, 50% off, Seagate closure. Like, where were you going with this? Oh, attendance, 3,500, and the sales goal was 36,000.
So here's the thing. Product. This is what they handed to their employees. This is a sheet of paper. Under product, it says, if you see anything that says, quote, rooted in Oakland, it must be taken down immediately. Such a tired act, man. You only played there for freaking how long? And it's just,
I mean, is this real?
Tired.
Yeah. So if that was the case, like, so you say that's a tired act from Oakland? Or do you say do you think somebody else from Major League Baseball is making them say that now that they're leaving?
I mean, I think that's from the A's ownership and all that. I'm about to pull it up here.
Listen, if your team's moving, I mean, you can be as petty as you want to be, you can do it's whatever you want to do. Like, that's a big blow, man. Like, I think that's a huge blow to St. Louis when they lost team, Oakland here. I mean, the Raiders have moved. I mean, the San Diego Chargers moved. When you're, especially from a fan base, now, maybe you're saying internally they should, heck, this is going to be, it's a tough time for Oakland. They couldn't figure out a stadium deal. They've had this team there for a very long time, tremendous amount of history. By the way, the Oakland A's have been very good at a lot of different times. From the early 70s, they were the team to beat, mm-hmm. to the Bash brothers of McGuire and Canseco, to Ricky Henderson, and then to Moneyball and Billy Bean. I mean, they've really had a tremendous history. This is a team right now that's being laughed at because they're getting 3,000 people in the stands. I mean, this is, to me, they have a way richer history than a team like the Marlins who have won the World Series a couple of times.
No, without
ironically, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
So I get why you'd be ticked off. I don't know if this is petty. I don't know if it's from them. I don't know if it's even Major League Baseball saying, hey, now you got to get that out of there, which I doubt it would be. Yeah. But I don't mind an organization, a fan base being really pissed off about the team moving. And so much of that is out of their control.
Well, yeah, and obviously it's a direct correlation of the owner.
Yeah, the fans obviously are the ones that suffer the most, you'd think, right?
Who, by the way, at the bottom of this list it says, Drew is here all week. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to reach out. Who's Drew?
He must be the manager in charge.
Okay.
I don't think that was intended to get out that,
yeah.
the sheet of paper, but obviously in today's world it's pretty easy to get out of there. The Pirates finally lost.
So the Brewers.
The Brewers finally lost.
Yep.
The Marlins still can't win.
Last undefeated team is the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, because they got rained out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're 4-0, I think.
Yeah, so they're 4-0. The Phillies Diamondbacks waited about 5-6 hours to play yesterday because they couldn't afford a rainout because they couldn't make up the game today. Because a wedding was scheduled in the stadium.
You know, I was going to bring that up. Did you? Why? Did you read more about that? Do you know whose wedding it was? Was it somebody involved in the organization? Did people rent that out, like, seriously for a wedding? I mean, how much money do you have if you're renting out a ballpark for a wedding?
Got a lot of money.
And the biggest question is, what kind of morons would rent it out during week one of the baseball season in Philadelphia, of all places, when you could have a rain date right there? Like, who did that?
I mean, somebody didn't think this through. Why couldn't you do it a week ago? I mean,
well, they literally, it's not that. Yeah, why couldn't you do it a week ago? Maybe they couldn't do it a week ago. But the bottom line is, if they couldn't do it a week ago, then the venue shouldn't be available for them to do it this
week. Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to plan accordingly, and unfortunately someone didn't do their due diligence, and that person probably got fired.
They played in some miserable weather. Did they win? Who won? Oh, the Reds won that game, right?
Yeah, the Reds came back and won.
Last night we were watching some, but yeah. That is pretty. I mean, that's got to be the first of its kind, right? Hey, we can't play tomorrow. We've got to push. You know what happened with that game is it was a 1 o'clock schedule start yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the weather was coming in, so they pushed it to 4 o'clock like 2 days ago,
mm-hmm.
and then they still had to wait until like what 9 or 10 o'clock. I think it was a 6 hour delay or a 5 hour delay or something to get mm-hmm. the game going in just brutal weather, so bad. All because of this wedding, they couldn't move it. Now, I'm sure there were some travel complications as well, but that is crazy. I mean, there's got to be more to that story of, I just wonder how many weddings are in ballparks. Like, that can't be a common venue.
I mean, do you get married on the mound then and stuff? Do you get married on the infield?
Well,
ceremony?
Listen, it would be awesome to do it.
Well, I'm just wondering
on
what
top
it looks
of the
like.
Dugout.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
No, you got to do it on the field, man. Like home plate.
Yeah.
I mean, home plate's the place to get married. Like, if you're going to get married there.
I mean, that could be fun.
It would be really a blast. Like, it would be wild to do it, but it must cost an absolute fortune.
Well, I know, like, Lambeau Field in the offseason, they do that.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a friend that got married at Lambeau Field.
Well, now that you say it, I got to believe, like, the East and West clubs and terrace suites or something at the Jack Stadium have had it. What I don't know is, have they had weddings Like on the field?
In the pool.
Like, do they actually utilize the field? I guess you could utilize the big boards.
Better get some shade. Yeah. It's gonna be hot out there in those dresses and those tuxes. Come on now.
I've never asked that. Like, I gotta believe the suite level stuff, like the club level stuff, has probably had a reception. They have like proms and stuff there for the kids.
Okay.
A lot of the high schools do it.
Okay.
But I don't know about weddings. Like, I would just think it would be so astronomical. It's already expensive for a wedding.
Yeah.
And how many people are you inviting to a ballpark to have a wedding? That would even
do. People would want to come on. People want to take a part of that. I would want to do that.
You know what I would do? I would open it. If I had the money to do a wedding at a ballpark,
mm-hmm.
I would have like my group, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a bad idea as I'm saying it out loud, but I would have my group, like I'd do the wedding at home plate, right? The serve, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, all of your folks that you invited to the wedding, including the reception and everything on the field,
mm-hmm.
right? Put tables, all the works. You got the video boards working, but then you open it up to everybody else that wants to come and fill the 30,000 seats.
Oh, come on, Brent, you're crazy.
Hey, the rumor, the rumor that I may or may not have just come up with is that there's probably going to be more people at that wedding in Philadelphia than there are at all the A's games this year.
There we go.
Yeah, combined.
Yeah.
Maybe combined. That was wild. I've never heard of that before. I was stunned to see that. And what poor planning and what a shot they took. That's what I'm saying. The money must have been so good that they're like, hey, we're going to take a chance on this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But at the same time, couldn't you, like, I don't know, work out some kind of deal where you could just pay them off? To, like, reschedule.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, what's your backup?
You're a major league organization. You got money.
Well, the bottom line, if somebody getting married today, you have to tell them yesterday?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. But I feel like there you can do things. Like, go to the link.
I think
get married in the Eagles.
I'm hoping the Philadelphia folks cover that wedding like it's going out of style.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Like, they should have cameras there and everything. Hey, can we get on MLB Network? You know, they have, like, the, what do they call those things? The live cam, but don't they call like the home cam or the whatever dugout cam, or I don't know what it is, but yeah, they take you around a live look at the ballpark. We should be able to get a live look at that wedding.
No, absolutely not, Brent, because now you're going to encourage like the royal wedding all over again. Like, I was so sick and tired of the royal wedding coverage. I don't need to see a wedding in Philadelphia of all places. Cheesesteaks and
cheesesteaks everywhere.
They're good though.
Do you have to have cheesesteaks if you're
in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia for a wedding?
I mean, I would. We had tacos at ours. We had a food truck.
I like that.
Yeah. Screw the salmon. Forget the chicken cordon bleu. Give me a food truck with tacos, please.
I did just one other baseball note. I looked up. I told Hamby this before the show. There was a tweet out there, and Hamby brought up a good point. Mm-hmm. I forgot about this. Tweet out there that said, like, average runs, RBIs, OPS, WAR. It was like 15 statistics.
Okay.
Major League Baseball leader. Mookie Betts in every one of them.
Really?
Every one of them. And okay. Then, but Hamby brought up a good point. It's like they have played two more games than everybody else.
Good point.
In fact, they've probably played a lot more than two because they're 7-2. So they've played nine, and take like the Detroit Tigers who have played four.
Yep.
To this point. The only winless teams are the Mets, who've only played four, and the Marlins, who have played seven. I would like to stake claim to the fact that I told you the Marlins, who you were a little saying they could be a little pesky in the NL East, they got lucky last year by every metric to win the amount of games that they won.
Yeah.
And here we are at 0-7.
Yeah.
Not getting lucky
about
this year.
About as pesky as a nice cool breeze on a summer day. Not pesky at all.
I also saw this. Did you see? I love the early stats in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
The Los Angeles Angels,
mm-hmm.
Who by the Trout hit like that 473-footer the other day. But their leadoff guy, I think, is like, or maybe it was going into yesterday, it was 0-20.
Mm-hmm.
Their ERA was second worst in the league, and they were in first place at the time. They were tied.
Gotta love baseball, man.
3-2.
Yep.
There's some just funky numbers at the start of the year.
Yeah.
One other note. Did you see the Orioles AAA team, Hamby?
Oh, yeah. Absolute rake fest. Hey, these guys on that lineup, hey, they're beating down the barracks in the dugout trying to get an AB. Every guy on the lineup's just beating down the bat rack, fighting. There's a fight in the dugout so who can get the next AB to see who can go yard.
That was amazing. I don't know if you saw this, Austin.
I did not.
But the... I'll find it. I retweeted it last night. Let's see. Okay, so the O's AAA team is Norfolk.
Okay.
They played last night, and they won 26-11. They banged out 29 wow. hits. Look who's in their lineup. Their lineup at the top, Jackson Holliday, went 4-for-6, a couple ribbies.
Take that.
I don't know some of these guys, but the Kerstead guy is like the, I think their fourth best prospect, and he's yeah, a he's right four. Fielder, at least for this team. And he went 5-for-7 with 10 RBI.
Dang.
Stowers, their DH, went 4-for-7 with 7 RBI.
Yeah.
I mean, their top of the lineup had 10, 18, 20 hits. Their first five guys in the lineup had 20 hits and drove in 23 runs.
Okay.
It will be interesting to see if they do just pound the AAA pitching. But they've got a bunch of studs in there, which also shows you how good the Orioles are, that they can allow them to be down there.
Yes.
And eventually we'll have to bring them up.
Mm-hmm.
They're just loaded with talent, man. The Orioles might. Do you think the Orioles, Hamby, could go on a run like Houston has?
I mean, when you look at as much young talent as they have, I mean, on their big league roster, you got Adley, you got Gunner, Henderson. I mean, those two guys are what, 22, 23? Those are your two studs that you're going to lock up, who are going to be perennial all-stars. Then you look at their rotation, Grayson Rodriguez, and they are all kinds of guys. Their back of their bullpen is young. I mean, they're definitely the pick of any team in the American League. You might say that if you were to bet on win percentage, total win percentage over the next 8 years, you might take the Orioles atop any other team in the American League.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was just saying 5 to 10 years, so your 8 years is probably right. I mean, keep in mind, I think the I want to say the Astros run started in like, they started to tear it down in 2011 and 12, and I think their run started in like 13, 14. Might have been 14 when they finally like really got good. And they've been good for a decade. I mean, they go to 7 ALCSs, won a couple World Series. So we might be looking at the build. Now, keep this in mind. One thing that the Astros did a really good job of is they were able to go get like a big-time veteran to mix in with their young players. Well, the Orioles did just go get Corbin Burns.
Yes.
But you're going to have to make more moves like that, is my point. It's going to be the right move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Astros have been awesome. Seriously, the Orioles might be that. They might have been bad long enough and done well enough in their picks and everything else and building their farm system to now be good for the next decade.
I mean, that's kind of seems the how to build a successful, long-lasting baseball franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
Built through the farm system. When you have those pieces in place, you know, your core players, then you can go out and maybe get one or two of those big-name players, a la like a Corbin Burns.
Yeah, so it'll be something to watch because here they are. And I thought maybe that they had arrived. People are predicting them to arrive a little too early, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're just good. And okay. We'll see what happens.
It's
with
still early, Brent. Okay, give it some time here. All right, so the first week of baseball.
It is. But they obviously have.
Plays out.
Hey, here's the deal. They've got reinforcements, apparently.
Oh, apparently. Yeah, for sure. Can anybody watch hockey? No one's watching hockey, I guess. What happened last
night? Oh, yeah. How about that? I was going to bring that up, too.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. It's like Ty says this to me. He's like, why is everybody going crazy about a hockey fight?
Here you go. Right? Here you go.
We got it, Hamby. I figured you had it.
Yeah. Immediately.
This was drop of the puck.
5-on-5.
5-on-5.
Game just started in Madison Square Garden, and this is what we call a little redemption for what happened. So where this all stemmed from was a rookie, I believe it was from the Rangers. No, I'm sorry, a rookie from the Devils. Elbowed one of the Rangers players early in the season. They remembered this, and literally, puck drops, you have a 5-on-5 fight. Now, the goalies didn't clear out, which is unfortunate, but yeah, all of these players got ejected. What a way to start a game.
Is it the best start to a game ever?
Might be, man. I mean, listen, there's been fights, and I remember, you know, the Wings and the Avalanche, they used to fight like to start the game off, but I've never seen, I don't think, where they all agreed 5-on-5, we're going to brawl this out.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you see it happens a lot in the first 5 seconds. You'll throw down. There'll be a guy in the corner, you know, two guys in the corner, the enforcers. But I agree.
It's like synchronized. They all chop their gloves at the same time, and it's on.
And you just said this. This is basically like an agreed-upon thing.
Correct.
I mean, they're like, we're going.
This is retaliation for what the Rangers felt was like a cheap shot. And I don't know if they planned this before the game. I assume they're on the ice and like, hey, it's about to go down. And if you're out there, you got to stand up for yourself. So, yeah, exactly. And but what a crazy scene.
Yeah, again, I think this started to go a little crazy. And I think the reason why is you just don't see the all five go. You said something. We've seen goalies go in the past, which is crazy. That elevates to another level. Interestingly enough, we didn't get that. They probably didn't want to get them ejected, I guess.
No, I mean, like, listen, we've seen fights where, like, you know, 10 guys are involved, but I've never seen a 5-on-5 that was all agreed upon.
Yeah.
You know, usually you got to step in and defend your teammates and things like that, and you go to war. But, like, this was all agreed upon, man. And, like, listen, like, I think we know we got seriously hurt, because that's a thing sometimes. But, like, shout out to the refs here for monitoring all of this. Like, they're clearing the gloves out of the way and the sticks out of the way so nobody trips. Obviously, if somebody falls down, then the fight's over. Like, they did a good job of monitoring everything.
I was going to say that. I was like, the hardest job on the ice was the refs. They were probably like, okay, which one do I go monitor here? Like, which one am I supposed to officiate? And it is one of the beauties of hockey. See, this is why I love sports policing itself.
Yeah.
And hockey does it well, and we don't probably talk about it enough like baseball. They've got good memories.
They play
each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why we were surprised that Rhys Hoskins got hit when he got hit instead of maybe getting hit 2 months from now if the Brewers and Mets play again. Maybe they don't. I mean, they're not the same thing, but I got to believe they probably play one more time. And, but I love this. I do like this about sports. I like that there's a respect level. I don't think anybody's trying to hurt anybody necessarily. I mean, you're trying to fight, obviously.
Yeah.
But not. There's no malicious intent. There's just, this is the way we do business, and it's time to put them up.
Yeah.
And drop the gloves.
Yeah.
And then I also love the part about the hockey officials that even in today's day and age where we have seen so much change, we have seen when baseball players try to police themselves, a warning gets issued. Sometimes before the game, you're getting ejected automatically. It's like it really discourages even throwing at a guy because you don't want to waste a starter or something like that. These officials still are just like, hey, we're going to let you go until you hit the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they did stop the one. They're like, okay, this is long enough. You guys laughed. Yeah, hey, you guys won the endurance contest.
Yeah. But I forgot, I mean, there's some blood. I forgot the player, the guy from the Rangers got a little bloody, but nothing major. But, yeah, still pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that was pretty wild last night in hockey as we get closer and closer to the NHL playoffs. All right, we'll take a break. We're live at String Sports Brewery. We've got some folks sitting in for some lunch, and it's a great place to grab a bite to eat, have a drink, come hang with us, shoot some free throws, win a TV, maybe we buy you a beer, any of those kind of things on a Thursday, on a beautiful day in Jacksonville. Come on out, hang out, String Sports Brewery in Springfield. You know, they got another one coming soon in the fall to Jack's Beach. That is on the horizon and in the works.
Welcome back to the Fred and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 network.
Oh, look at the form of this guy shooting free throws. Big man shooting free throws, and he looks good doing it. 8 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, you get the missing.
A little better follow through. A little side spin on that one.
Yeah. Well, no, spoiler alert, too. The basketball, like a little bit of the stitching's coming out. So it kind of flicks your finger. It's a little harder now.
All right.
Yeah, this just lets you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
I have a tendency, actually. You know, back in the day, I played a lot of basketball.
Okay.
Loved basketball. I feel like, I'm not sure it was my first love, but I really loved playing hoops. And I felt like I played a ton of it in the backyard. I'm backyard of the driveway. And so, you know, you have the hoop up.
Yep.
And took a lot of free throws. Larry Bird guy, got to take free throws.
Sure.
But, and so I felt like I'm always trying to protect that form. You know, like that's at a time where you're getting a lot of these gurus starting to come out and showcasing that. Now, it's not on social media or any place, but you could find it, right? Some teachings of the perfect free throw or the perfect shot or whatever else.
Yep.
And so you kind of like get that elbow in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is still kind of hurts to kind of get the elbow in. And
arthritis kicking in.
But now I kind of feel like when I shoot or have shot career high 7 points one time with the Jacksonville Giants.
Flex.
Probably more points than any other media members ever had in the
Don't
Giants.
Worry about it, man. I made up for it with other categories. Rebounds, blocks, steals, roll the guy's ankle. Yeah, don't worry about it, though.
I still have a technical foul.
There you go.
Didn't top that.
Yeah.
But anyway, when I shoot it, even on this, I'm like, I feel like I'm getting some side spin on
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm just like, I don't like that. I hate that feeling. I want it to come off perfect. I don't even care. I'm also to the point where I don't care if it goes in. I just want that nice backspin.
I'm to the point now in my shot where I can know as soon as I let it go if it's going to go in or not.
Really?
You know, like, sometimes you get a lucky bounce and everything, but no, I can tell right away. I'm like, oh, nope, that's not going in.
There are some things in sports that you do that feel very foreign if you haven't done them in a while.
Mm.
And I really think shooting a basketball is one. It's like
swinging a golf club.
And swinging a golf club is really up there, right? Yep. I mean, I have not swung a golf club. It's amazing. I'm almost like ashamed of myself.
Excuses when he goes back on the floor.
I have not swung a golf club. I don't remember when. Mm. Like, I really don't. I'll have to go back and dig it up. But it's embarrassing that I haven't swung a golf club. And when I do go out there, it's going to feel bad. And by the way, I better get going in the summer. We got some golf plans on this big trip we're taking in the summer. But anyway, I think you're right. I think if you haven't swung a golf club, most people would be like, if you haven't done that in a month or 2 months or 3 months, you're like, what the heck is this and how do I do it?
Correct.
Now, unless you just grew up playing golf, I think a lot of people can just do that, like riding a bike. Mm-hmm. But I really think basketball is that way. Like, if you throw a baseball, like, you can either throw a baseball or you can't, and it's pretty natural or it isn't. Mm-hmm. Heck, even swinging a bat, now you might not hit it, but it doesn't feel foreign. But I do think shooting a basketball feels like the first time it's like, what just happened?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, I hear you.
What was that?
For real?
This was the most unathletic thing I've done like in my entire life right here.
Yeah.
And I think some of that is the history of playing. Like, you used mm-hmm. to feel like you could do it and shoot a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, we played so much basketball, even just picking up. Even when I was playing baseball, I had to keep us away from the basketball courts in college. I didn't like you doing that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean,
because you get hurt back.
Yeah,
twist the ankle and stuff like
yeah,
that. So, yeah. But anyway, basketball, so I still believe that, too. I think the kids, like, I've seen it with Ty and his buddy. They love playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And basketball is one of those funny things, and maybe sports are like this in general, is you go get a bunch of kids from the neighborhood and you go play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you really suck, but you come home thinking you're good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't realize that until later. But, like, my guess
some
is Ty thinks he's pretty good at basketball.
Okay.
And he's probably not.
Gotcha. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're playing with a group of people that are also not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And but you think you guys, you're at that age, especially where you think you're better. I mean, you think you're freaking LeBron James out
no,
there.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that just because, listen, you can have the ugliest shot in the world. You can have no dribble, play zero defense. But, like, as soon as you make that first basket, and it might be all luck, it provides you with a sense of confidence, a sense of gratification right away. So I do agree with you. I think a lot of people, when it comes to the game of basketball, have an overinflated sense of just how good they are. But, you know, when that ball goes through the hoop, it gives you a little extra boost, gives you a little extra confidence, and sometimes that can turn into arrogance a little bit.
Yeah, like, I mean, think about it in golf, right? If I think I'm good in golf, which I don't think I'm very good in golf, mm-hmm. or, like, good in golf, it's going to tell you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
yeah,
quick
yeah.
tell yeah. if you're good or not.
Yep.
You can hit one good shot and feel like you can hit that 10 times, but now you're really kidding yourself.
Yeah.
Seriously, basketball has got to be the sport where, if you played in pickup fashion, you think you're better. Like football, you can go play football around and probably think you're a little athletic and playing football. But not many people do that at 30 and 40 years old.
Yeah.
You know, basketball's a game. People still play in their 40s. And there's somebody at the Y, just came back from the Y moments ago, had just played a pickup game. And they just knocked down a couple of shots and they scored 12 points. And they're like, I don't know why they're not calling me.
But no,
I don't know why they're not calling me up.
Listen, I hear you. But that's the game of basketball, though. Like, you have to have that confidence, right? Like, even NBA players, you can go 0 for 6 from 3-point line, or from the land of good play, as I call it.
Yeah,
but, like,
true.
You're still going to think, like, hey, the next shot that I take, I'm going to make. So I think NBA, more than any other sport, you have to have that, and I don't want to call it like a false sense of confidence, but you have to have that mindset where, doesn't matter how many shots I missed, I'm that good, the next one's going to go in.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a fair point. You do have to have in almost anything you do.
Yeah.
It's good to it's better to have that confidence than not to have it.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have that confidence, you'll never make it.
Guys, I mess around on Twitter quite a bit. I know you guys know that. And occasionally, we get sucked into something.
Mm.
I don't like, CBS Sports does this sometimes, and then there's this ML Football that does this sometimes. And I don't really know what ML Football is. Your home for everything football, credentialed media. What the hell? Who puts that in their freaking Twitter handle? Credentialed media. Is that their way of saying, like, I'm real?
Maybe. What do we?
All right. So anyway, what they do is they'll tag people like.
Yeah, no idea.
They'll tag people in the local markets.
Okay.
Right? So ML Football put out a post yesterday, and it says, underrated Raiders new QB Gardner Minshew versus Jaguars former number one overall pick Trevor Lawrence. Oh. So we've got the stats, right? Okay. And so what they do is they'll tag.
Absolutely fired up.
See, which is crazy. It's wild. Maybe we should just do the topic.
Who is this, by the way, though?
I don't know. It's like ML Football. That's what it
okay.
is.
Okay. Well, how many followers? Like, is this a legit thing, or is this like some troll?
Huh? 182,000
followers.
Okay.
Well, so I've never heard of them. They built them up.
Okay.
And so they tag you in the local market, I'm assuming, to help kind of push and get reaction.
Yeah.
Probably what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. You're literally playing into their hand as we speak.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, can we... This is annoying to me because I get so many notifications about it.
Mm.
Like, there are so many responses from likes to retweets to you're out of your mind to Minshew's better than Lawrence to Lawrence is a bust to... And I'm just like, how do I get off this?
Mute.
I guess I could just mute ML Football. Would that mute everything else?
Yep. our first ever live mute.
I don't block. I have muted people.
Yeah, but I don't
block.
Yep.
Maybe I will. But since we're on the conversation,
oh, wow.
This is stupid.
Yes.
These are stupid. Like, this is where, see, you sometimes, I'm going to call you out on this.
Call me out, man.
Sometimes you get a little stat heavy when we have an argument.
Because I think stats help pay contracts.
And by the way, stats do tell a story. I love stats.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think they factor in. And I also do think you can spin things with stats.
Yep.
And I think this is spin.
Yep.
Right? I mean, because the bottom line is, it's like the passing touch. We have one of these with Mac Jones. And the league has Mac Jones now as a backup to Trevor Lawrence, okay? So Mac Jones' numbers are the same. So why? Then why are we doing this? Well, Gardner Minshew.
Here you go.
And a lot of credit to Minshew. Like, I don't want to crush Minshew here. Like, this, I think Minshew's been terrific. On so many levels, got opportunity, take advantage. Got an opportunity in Jacksonville, didn't go right between Moreau and the hand and other things that year. Maybe trying to get Trevor.
Yeah.
It didn't go right. I think he goes to Philly. You know, he gets only a couple of chances. I think it was a smart move to go to Philly because who knew about Jalen Hurts at that time? He ends up having a major season. He goes to Indianapolis. Man, does he take advantage of it. Parlays it into $15 million guaranteed. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback as a stopgap measure for now for the Raiders. And he has a chance to prove that he's more than a stopgap. But the bottom line is the league is going to view him as a stopgap.
Yep.
That's not being critical of Minshew. But he's getting an opportunity to do it, and he earned that opportunity.
Yep.
Good for him. His numbers have actually always been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually would argue when people were arguing against Minshew when he was here in Jacksonville, I'm like, look at the numbers. Like, you can support your case with the numbers. But this is a goofy story to tell, in my opinion, and the numbers are up there now. Or am I not taking enough consideration into the numbers?
I mean, so I think that the numbers say this. Like, I'm not – Gardner Minshew is not a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. But at the same time, I think it's telling – that according to stats, and once again, in my opinion, stats do say something. You get paid because of your stats, not, well, this happened. No, you get paid because of quarterback sacks. Like, if Josh Allen would have had 10 quarterback sacks last year, would he be making what he's about to make? Absolutely not. But he had a lot of pressures, but he had a lot of quarterback knockdowns.
That's fair.
Doesn't matter. He had 17 and a half sacks. That's the telling number. So, if we put that into the formula here and we look at Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence, to me it's not saying, hey, Gardner Minshew's a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence, but on the flip side of that coin, it also tells me that, hey, Trevor Lawrence, probably got to pick it up a little bit eventually.
Yeah, that's a good call. Keep it up there, if you don't mind, Hamby. Again, this is from ML Football. They tagged us, so now I'll give him a shout-out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally, just give him the follow.
Well,
everybody.
I mean, what the heck he did, and now
like
we're on
subscribe.
It.
Subscribe. What are we doing?
We see these all the time, and I just, like, I think we see him with Trevor a lot. You know, we see him with Trevor because of the, again, Mac Jones. I've seen ones with Daniel Jones, and now we're seeing one with Gardner Minshew, and I'm just like...
But here's why we see that, though, Brent. Because everybody was parading in the streets calling this guy a generational-type quarterback.
Yeah.
So, like, he's the big name. Like, all due respect to Mac Jones and whoever else you want to throw on this list, like, the hype out of college with Trevor Lawrence was greater than any quarterback taken in the draft in the past, what, since Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I think so.
So that comes with some scrutiny.
And I get that. That's fair enough. And probably that's just the nature of the business, and that's the name of the game. And listen, I also, when we have these conversations, okay, I don't want to give Trevor a complete pass. I'm a big fan of Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor's going to be just fine. He's going to be here for a long time. You know, every time I bring this up, if you're just jumping in on the show, I'm the guy that said since the day the season ended, I would give Trevor Lawrence the contract right now and wouldn't lose an ounce of sleep over it. So that's where I feel about Trevor Lawrence. But it is interesting to ask yourself on occasion, like, why do I feel that way? if these numbers are, well, I was are
gonna,
right and equivalent.
I was just going to say that. If this is what we're talking about, I have a hard time paying Trevor Lawrence right now. Look at Dallas. I mean, this was in the group chat. Let's go ahead and just bring this out now because I'm stubborn to come out unless I bring it out. Dak Prescott. Look at his numbers last year of what he did. I don't have them in front of me, but monumentally better than Trevor Lawrence with all due respect.
Very good.
Dak Prescott, I would think, should be considered a franchise quarterback. Dak Prescott hasn't got a new contract yet. What's to say in Jacksonville, hey, Trevor, yeah, we could pay you next year, or we could give you that fifth-year option and see what you do. Like, if the Cowboys are doing it, and once again, I know the Cowboys aren't the most well-run organization. People can say they've choked in the big moments, haven't went on a playoff run, but in totality, a lot better organization right now than Jacksonville Jaguars are concerned, and look at how they're treating their quarterback.
Yeah. What's the thought? Is he going to get a deal?
They don't know yet.
I think he does get a deal. I would say the biggest difference is this, the unknown. And what I mean by that is Dak Prescott now has a resume that goes 7 years deep in the National Football League.
Okay.
Right?
And that resume, I would say, would probably be pretty dang good.
Very good. 73-41 record.
Yeah.
You know, touchdown interceptions, we're talking 202-74. That's like 3-1 almost.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, he's been in MVP conversations, I would say, at least two times in his career, like legitimately, maybe even a third.
Mm-hmm.
He had one poor year throwing the football interception-wise where he, I think, led the league in 2022 with 15.
Okay.
But he also had led the league last year in touchdown passes.
What were his numbers last year? Let's go over his numbers.
His numbers last year were almost 70% completion, 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, 9 picks. 4-1. 4-1.
Yeah, and obviously it's a lot of CeeDee Lamb.
And they went 12-5.
Yeah, it's a lot of CeeDee Lamb, but still, man, you can't deny those numbers.
Absolutely. So, like, but what I would say about the unknown is 30 years old versus 24-year-old. I think you have so much more unknown. I think what they're asking themselves in Dallas is, do we know what this is? Do we know who he is? Is he very good in the regular season? Can he carry us to the postseason? Can he help us get over the hump? Is that just a Dak problem? No, it's been a Dallas problem for two decades. But is this the guy that can reverse it? See, the one thing I think you can say in Jacksonville a little bit is it's been a mess in Jacksonville for a long time, even right before and really during the first year of when Trevor was here. And he's helped reverse at least flip that part of the story. Like, I think that's an important question to be able to answer. He also answered he was able to win a playoff game. I know it's just one now, but out of two, he was able to win one. And Dak really just hasn't been able to answer that question now over 7 years, despite all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And all the noise. But now, listen, I'm a Dak guy. I would pay Dak right now. Mm-hmm. Because the question you ask in Dallas is, who are we getting better?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that the question you have to ask?
Yes.
Who are we going to get better that's going to lead us there?
Mm-hmm. And listen, like, I get it once again. I mean, but you say the stats all the time. Well, then now we're counting playoff wins like it was Dak Prescott's fault. Dak Prescott threw for 400 yards against the Green Bay Packers in that playoff game, threw for, I think, 3 touchdowns. It's not his fault that the Cowboys gave up how many points on defense?
Well, he did throw 2 pick sixes.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, it does make a difference as well. But, like, I mean, he threw 400 yards, I think, right?
Listen, I prefaced him. I said it's a Dallas problem, but my point is he hasn't helped fix the problem. I would say the Jags, when they're 1-15 and 3 and whatever, it's been a Jags problem. It's not a specific player's problem necessarily.
Okay.
But I do think Doug and Trevor and this group of players, but Doug and Trevor are going to get a lot of the credit for helping flip around at least that part of it. Now the question is, can they take it to the next level? But they've been asking, can they take it to the next level in Dallas for 20-something years? They've been winning enough football games to make the playoffs,
sure.
You know, with or without Dak Prescott. Like, his numbers are great. He's an MVP candidate. I think those are the questions you're asking. Listen, I'm not trying to defend against Dak here. I would say you're 30 years old. Your best football and a quarterback is still ahead of you. Now, he does seem like an older 30-year-old to me.
Okay.
Doesn't he kind of look like he plays a lot slower than he did even 3 years ago? Or is it just kind of the way he moves?
Maybe. I mean, like, I never really thought Dak Prescott dual threats type of guy, though.
I know. He just looks like he's lumbering now. I don't know if some of the injuries he's had, obviously. Sure. Yeah. He feels like he's really... If I had asked you how old Dak is, I feel 34 years old comes to mind before 30 years comes to mind.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
That might just be a me thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But now, there is whatever this thing's going on with the off the field, that might be a little bit of the holdup, too. There's some stuff happening where he's suing someone, and now he's getting alleged or something. So... I don't know where that factored. I've been paying attention to Dallas's stuff, like what's coming out of there. But I would just simply answer this question if I'm a Dallas Cowboy front office person, fan, whatever, is who's replacing? And the answer is nobody. Because they're not in a position to take top three. If they were like had the number one pick or number two pick and they want to go get a young guy and say, okay, we're going to reset this thing. We're going to get a younger deal. We're not going to pay $55 million for a quarterback.
We think
this guy can play at this level too. We'll find out if he's the one that can get us over the hump. That would make sense. But for them to go sit there and take the sixth best quarterback or go get, Sam Darnold or Justin Fields or whatever, Trey Lance doesn't make sense.
You can always give up a king's ransom to get your guy if you truly have to get your guy, right? Because we've talked about before on the show, you never want to settle at quarterback. If there's a chance to upgrade to get your guy, then go get your guy. Yeah, it would take a lot for them to move up right now because year in and year out, they are a competitive football team. But I just think, and once again, I know numbers don't mean everything, but I'm surprised he hasn't been paid yet. I'm not sure what they're waiting for now with the litigation and whatever is going on. Maybe they're waiting for all of that. But even you can make an argument for 2 years ago. What did you have 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Even
in a bad year, he's 23-50. That was like his worst
year
outside of the injury year. He just didn't put up any numbers. He had 22-13 in his second year. Listen, his numbers have been fantastic. It's just all about the postseason.
Yeah.
And it's all about where... I'll say this about the Cowboys. Their football team is loaded with talent. Like, why they can't win is like, they were undefeated at home, Austin. They had the Packers coming in, a super young team, and they got blitzed at home. Like,
it's embarrassing.
They are the, to me, this edition of the Cowboys, this past 20 years, they are the Red Sox and the Cubs.
Mm.
Because they've been there so many times.
Yeah, they're cursed.
And now, more than the Cubs. The Cubs weren't always there. Cubs were bottom feeders a lot. But the Red Sox so many times were there, and they just couldn't do it. To me, the Cowboys are those guys. They're those teams. They're the teams that just, for whatever reason, the Jags have more playoff wins in the last 25 years than the Cowboys. And I don't even think it's close. Like, Blake Bortles has more postseason wins than Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Like, these goofy things that come up, you can't, they're inexplicable. But here's the thing that I'll always say about teams that can't win in the postseason or for whatever reason don't win in the postseason. You still got to get to the postseason. And one thing the Cowboys are really good at is getting to the postseason.
That's the start.
I mean, in his career, well, maybe I shouldn't say really good. Oh, no, they were 13-3. I don't know if they made it in the second year, 9-7, 10-6. I'm assuming one of those years they did. They didn't at 8-8, 2-3, but then 11-5 they did. And then they went 8-4 in 2022, or he did, because he got hurt again a little bit.
Yeah.
And 12-5 last year, they made the playoffs, and they should have won. They were undefeated at home. I mean, they got this recipe for what should be a winning formula.
Yeah.
And they just can't figure it out. And listen, I thought Mike McCarthy did one of the great coaching jobs last year in the league.
Yeah.
And he still got bounced with... I mean, you're cursed a little bit.
Yeah, but you are. I mean, but once again, and I get, okay, the pick six, like you mentioned, but you give up 48 points in a football game, you're out.
Well, the defense was atrocious. And by the way, that guy went and got a job. Well,
I keep my two of those 40, I mean, 14 of those points came from pick sixes.
Yeah,
still,
but
it was.
Green Bay could have scored 70 in that game.
Yeah.
And Aaron Dan Jones Quinn gets a job off in Washington.
Yeah.
Which was wild.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually like, listen, I'm not saying Dan Quinn's a bad hire in Washington.
But how can you justify bringing that guy in after?
I also think Dan Quinn's going to have to, like, eventually, let's just say he builds Washington up and they do pretty well. I think the question will be, can he win the big one?
Mm-hmm.
Because look what he did with Dallas there in the playoffs. It was a terrible performance. And then, obviously, the Atlanta situation where he was there and they couldn't win and hold off New England when he got there. I think those questions will kind of permeate for Dan Quinn until he absolutely does it. But, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are about as interesting as you get. See, they're not like the Knicks. The Knicks have been awful.
Yeah.
And still, like, they obviously can't win, but they've been awful during that time. Like, they are, like, they are the biggest franchise by name stuck in irrelevance of the last couple of decades, like maybe in the history of sports.
Yeah, you know.
The Knicks are now, they've pulled out of it in the last couple of years. They look like they're trending in a better direction.
Yeah.
But for 20 years, they were just brutal. And they have one of the biggest names, obviously, in the world when it comes to sports.
So on the other side of this, then, we have a guy like Brock Purdy right now, who many believe that if the 49ers wait to offer him a new contract next year, then that following year, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback in football. How much would you pay Brock Purdy? And when would you pay him?
Oh, that's a good question, because I also have a question about the incentive-based stuff that he got and how the league works, because you've obviously experienced that a little. Let's do this. Take a break, and we'll start the noon hour with that. I like the question, because I think you can actually spin this question into, if you were a GM, would you play Brock Purdy or Trevor Lawrence right now? Don't answer that. Save it for just a little bit. We're live at String Sports Brewery here in Springfield. Lunch crowd's coming in on a beautiful day here in Springfield and in Jacksonville. Come on out, say hello to us, shoot some free throws. They don't have a Pac-Man machine, but they do have Golden Tee and several other video games. Maybe we should lend ours here at Strings, or the new one coming to Jack's Beach as well. String Sports Brewery in Springfield, Brett and Austin Show, and we're live on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 Network.